You ready? Okay, the regular session of July 28th of the Newport Planning Commission is now in order. Roll call, Bill Brannigan?
Here.
Bob Berman is here. Jim Hanselman?
Here.
Gary East?
Here.
Braulio Escobar?
Here.
John Updike?
Here.
And Robert Baer?
Here.
Okay, first item is approval of minutes. Anybody have any corrections?
No.
Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, motion's been made to approve both the work session and regular session minutes July 14th. Any further discussion, questions? Then all in favor, indicate by saying aye.
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 I'll second.
Oh, and now that too, okay. That too.
I knew what you were reaching for there, Sherry.
Right. Okay, next item of the agenda is citizens' public comment. We understand we do have somebody that would like to address an item that is not on the agenda tonight. Please come forward and have a seat here. If you'd state your name and address.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Gary Gamer. This is my wife, Kathy. Our address is at 165 Southwest 26th Street in South Beach, Newport.
And go ahead and address the commission.
Again, the first thing I'd like to say is what a great job you've done in that South Beach area surrounding the Jetty Road. I mean, it's just received steady improvements through the years. And as a homeowner down there, I want to thank you for that. I'm going to read a statement here just to stay on point. I realize that my time is short here. I'm here seeking your advice and perhaps action on changing my vacation rental house license from one allowing transfer to one allowing transferability of the rental license upon sale. For some reason, our house is outside of the zone and or properties that are allowing for this. I live on the Jetty Road on the south side of the bridge, across the street from the bay, with a full view of the bridge and most of the bay and the pier and the marina, all the way out to the ocean. It's a large house. It's a great property. It's a vacation rental, and the profile of people who stay there oftentimes are from out of state. It's a large house, and it's typically intergenerational with grandparents, parents, and kids, that stay in the house there to clam and do all of the other things that people do in Newport. The location, which I'm sure you all are aware, there's a lot going on down there with the clamming, with the aquarium village, the marina, the Hatfield Center, the Wine and Seafood Festival, many different hotels or numerous hotels exist down there, and it's a major draw, as you know, to Newport. Now, our house is wedged right in between two sets of condominiums that are down there on that Jetty Road, right as you begin to go out the Jetty Road on my street. And they have units that do have licenses allowing transferability of their vacation rental upon sale. And for some reason, I don't really understand, our house was left out of that transferability clause. I've been told that a change requires a legislative amendment to the city's land use regulations, which is a somewhat involved process, including hearings. And as an individual, I can apply to change the land use regulations with an application. That includes a rather hefty filing fee. Also, I understand that you or the city council can, by motion, initiate this process to amend the regulations. Perhaps if you see something like my situation where it might be pretty obvious a license with transferability makes sense to you. So I'm here to check your pulse on if you might consider this. And or any advice that you can perhaps give us on both the prospects of transferability of sale license and the best way to go about doing this. So again, I realize our time is short, but any advice or thoughts you might have on this as just a starting process for us, we'd be really appreciative.
Eric, do you have initial thoughts?
You know, that portion, that area down in South Beach, that's all R4 residential, and it was not included in the transferability area as part of the original work. There was some significant discussion and thought put to that. You know, there's, you know, certainly arguments to be made that is a highly desirable area for vacation rental purposes, very proximate to Rogue Brewery, the aquarium, all of the venues you have down in South Beach, Marina. So it's a policy call. It was a policy call, you know, in 2019 when we did this work. Whether or not you want to bring it back up is really your call.
Could you clarify? I'm a little confused because you mentioned that your neighbors do have transferability, and that's not here. Quite the way I remember it. But, Derek, could you clarify that? Because you definitely arrived at the zone.
I've seen a map of vacation rentals, and some of them are starred as having transferability of sale.
Starred?
Yeah, I mean, it's designated as having that transferability of sale. So some do and some do not down in that area.
Boy, I didn't recall that, but
yeah, I don't either.
For transferability, you either need to be in a commercial zone or adjacent to a commercial zone, and that could be a C1, C2 zone, like, or C2 be your tourist commercial. It could be water-related, like we have mostly on the bayfront. I'd be pressed in this neighborhood. None of these should be transferable. Yeah. They're all R4.
Wasn't there some special arrangement for Embarcadero, though?
That's water-related. That's a commercial zone.
Ah.
Different on the over there.
I remember that.
Yeah, okay.
So the water-related, the C1, C2, those are all commercial zones.
And this zone that he is speaking of is?
He's in an R4, so it's a residential.
R4. Thank you.
High-density residential, so.
Thanks, Derek. Some of these units are along the water or across the street from the water. So what... You know, what is designated as on the water might be in question, but
it's a zoning category.
Yeah. Okay.
And water related is a zone.
Yeah.
And you're in high density residential zone.
Yeah. We're right across the street from the water, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
As I recall, and I participated in this process extensively, that the transferability was designed really for commercial operators, people like Melody. The commercial operators of vacation rentals, and they set up in commercial zones, and then the license becomes transferable. I would highly doubt whether any of your neighbors actually could transfer their license. They may say they can, but it seems to me, as I recall the ordinance, and I don't have it here in front of me, that's just not permitted. There are vacation rentals in my neighborhood that are non-transferable, absolutely. And there's a very strict definition of what transfer is and all that. But I'm sorry, but I don't believe that there are any transferable units anywhere near you.
Could we double check that? Because I've seen a map that has come from the city that shows there are transferables in there. Now maybe it's a mistake, but I was given a map that says the red colored ones are transferable. So maybe it was a mistake.
Yeah, my advice would be pursue that through Derek's office.
Okay.
If there was such a map, he would have it over the office.
These are none of the licenses down here are transferable. The struggle that the policymakers had back in 2019 with the residential districts was feedback you were getting from members of the community that, you know, once a vacation rental, always a vacation rental next to me. That's not right in a residential zone. And that's where in the residential zones, except where you had it right next to commercial.
Right.
The residential zones, it wasn't transferable. If somebody bought that home, they would, and they wanted to use it for vacation rental purposes, they ended up going on a wait list. And that's how it's been functioning. Now, whether or not that's appropriate down here still, or whether or not this area should have received the ability to be transferable because it's a little bit different residential area than some of the others, I mean, that's a policy call.
Well, I guess the suggestion, Derek, is to go to the City Council and request they initiate a review of that section of the legislation. And we would be more than glad to jump into it and take testimony.
And this is just because Gary's tried that avenue. He's tried going through, and the city manager's office got directed this way. So,
I don't want you to run around in circles for sure.
You didn't have that context, so I just wanted to. The options are, Gary can chalk.
One option is to live with it.
The options on the books in terms of process, the Planning Commission, if it wants to, can initiate legislative change. That is your choice. You don't have to. It's totally if you want to consider this and have us do work on it, you can initiate a legislative process for that purpose. The other is Gary can spend, I think it's a couple $1,000 and file for an amendment that would allow for that. And that's it's a zone change, but it's applicant initiated, and we take it through a hearings process and it goes.
Is that the way it would go, a zone change, or the permitted uses within a zone?
It'd be a zone text change. Be a text change to the zoning code.
Okay.
Not
a rezoning.
Probably paired with a map.
Right. Not adjustment. A rezoning. A zone wording change.
It'd be a wording change and wording change probably is all we'd probably need on that one. But those are the two options.
Okay.
And you're right, the council can initiate a legislative process as well, but he'd reached out and kind of got redirected for your opinion first.
Okay. Can we put this on the agenda for a work session in the near future and see if we want to jump into that legislative process? I don't think it's appropriate tonight.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair, Bob.
Okay. Let's put that on a work session agenda, and you'll get plenty of notice for that. And maybe you can visit with Derek's office and get the clarification on those other transferabilities, because it's my recollection, and several of us worked on that.
Okay.
That was not the case in that particular area.
Fair enough. Let's do that. I look forward to it.
Good.
All right. Thanks for hearing us out.
We'll see you next time
around. Okay. Take care.
Okay. Action items. Initiate legislative process for the City Center Revitalization Plan form-based zoning amendments.
Yeah.
Derek, do you think that's premature since we're definitely going to have another work session?
I wouldn't mind you initiating the process just so I can get the DLCD formal notice taken care of, because it's a 35-day lead time.
Oh.
But, we need to be careful about where we land the actual hearing date. I think it's okay to initiate the legislative process, but I'll hold off on scheduling any public hearing until after the next work session. You can kind of see how you feel.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Do I hear a motion to initiate that legislative process?
I'll motion that we initiate the legislative process.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
Well, the next work session is August
11th. I think I got it right that time.
And then what would the date for this that we're setting forth be?
You're just initiating the legislative process by motion.
It doesn't establish a date.
It doesn't establish a hearing date.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's
Derek permission to send out the notice.
Right. It gives me permission then to provide the state notice that we're initiating a legislative process to put in a form-based code. And there's enough detail at this point that I can, because I have to provide them backup. I can send it to the state as backup. And then what that means is that that gives people like Fair Housing Council and others that they get notice from the state. And so it just kind of gets the process going.
Okay.
It's really part two of what we're about to talk about.
So, right, part yeah. two, yeah.
Right.
Okay, public hearings.
We have a vote, don't we? Oh. Call for the question.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we do. Right on top of it. All in favor of the outstanding motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed or abstention? Passed. Now, public hearings. Item 5A, file 3-CP-22, City Center Revitalization Comprehensive Plan Amendments. I don't know when I'm supposed to read this, all this stuff. Now?
Yeah, the legislative script.
Okay. Do we have anybody other than commissioners on video?
Yes, we do. There's Ann McIntyre.
Okay, so I need to get, when I get to this part. I'm going to read a couple of pages here, so bear with me. This is the time set for a public hearing on a proposal to adopt or amend a Newport Municipal Code, comprehensive plan, map inventories, land use regulations, or other policy documents that affect the entire city or large portions of it. This is a hearing to consider the City Center Revitalization Comprehensive Plan Amendments, file 3-CP-22. This statement applies to all hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented towards the request being heard must be directed toward the relevant criteria in the Newport Comprehensive Plan, Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards which the speaker believes to apply to the decision. Failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, known as LUBA, based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis for an appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of the record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such issues shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and parties adequate opportunity to respond to each item. The failure of an applicant to raise constitutional or other issues related to the proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of any hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made, then the hearing will be continued to a date certain and schedule set for submittal of additional testimony, a period for parties to respond to the new testimony, and a period whereby the applicant can provide final argument. This public hearing is being conducted utilizing the Zoom video conference platform. Before we get started, I would like staff to provide a moment to identify individuals that are participating virtually.
Ann McIntyre is the only person we have participating through video.
Thank you. I would also like to cover a few ground rules for Ann. Individuals wishing to speak may raise their hand proper or use the raise hand feature, which can be found by clicking on the participants button on the bottom of the computer screen, the raise hand button on the bottom of a smartphone, or by dialing *9 on a landline. I will call out the order of testimony in cases where multiple hands are raised. Please keep your microphone muted unless you are speaking. Press *6 to mute and unmute a landline. For persons participating via video or phone, the city can make the shared screen feature available for those that wish to make a presentation. Information shared with the Planning Commission in this manner is part of the record, and a copy of the materials will need to be provided to staff. For those persons who have elected to attend the hearing in person, a computer has been set up so that they may provide testimony using the video conference platform. briefly describe it. Jesus. Oh, no, I read all this, I think. I'm going back over here. At this time, I would ask commission members to disclose any actual or potential financial interest that may have related to this agenda item. They may have. Anybody?
I have anybody no financial over there?
No.
If anyone present has an objection to the participation of any commissioner or the commission as a whole, please raise that objection now. Good. I'm missing a little bit, but there's something about the entire city. The Planning Commission is required to hold at least one public hearing before making a recommendation to the City Council on how to proceed with a legislative proposal. City Council will hold a public hearing at a later date at which it will consider the Commission's recommendation and then will take additional public testimony. The hearing will proceed in the couple of announcements. Yeah. The hearing will proceed in the following order: staff report, public testimony, record closes for public testimony, commission deliberation, and questions, commission recommendation. All testimony and evidence submitted, either oral and writing, must be directed towards the relevant issues. Any person who believes that other issues apply in addition to those addressed in the staff report, those issues must be discussed while the record is open, i.e. during public testimony. If you fail to raise an issue on the record supported by statements and evidence sufficient to give the city or other parties an opportunity to respond to the issue, may be precluded from appealing on that issue to the Land Use Board of Appeals. We don't care about sign-up cards. When you are called to testify, state your name and address for the record. If you can, identify the issue to which your testimony is directed by stating the section of the ordinance, comprehensive plan, state statute, or other legal authority to which your evidence or arguments are directed. Please avoid repetitive testimony. During the hearing, I ask those in the audience to refrain from demonstrations in support or opposition of any testimony.
Keep it down, okay?
Okay. Staff report.
Where's our Sergeant Burns?
Thank you. Derek Tokos, Community Development Director, City of Newport. I'll kind of walk through this here. What you have before you is the first of two parts of the package that we've been working on. We call it the City Center Revitalization Planning Effort. What you have before you now are some adjustments or changes that be made to the comprehensive plan to implement the recommendations coming out of the City Center Revitalization Plan. Now, at this point, the City Center Revitalization Plan is a compilation of 9 memos, each of which is included and were linked in the staff report. It is, we're at the tail end of what has been a lengthy process, and when you think about our efforts to try to turn things around in City Center, we've been working on this a very long time. You may recall that, in 2011-12, we identified the need to put in place an urban renewal district to create funding to help address conditions in the City Center area, to create funding for transportation improvements and things of that nature. We then spent a few years trying to figure out exactly what that urban renewal district looked like, what the package of projects would be, got the taxing entities to buy off, eventually got that urban renewal plan in place in 2015. We then embarked on transportation planning effort, ended up being the north side, kind of focused north of the bridge because we've been doing a lot of stuff in South Beach. That transportation system plan was a multi-year effort, was funded by both the Urban Renewal Agency and the Oregon Department of Transportation and wrapped up in 2022.
with a potpourri of projects that impact these areas. And one of the biggest was whether or not to pursue which of the 101 options, we narrowed it down to two as part of the transportation system planning process, whether or not to go with two-way traffic and keep it on 101 with 9th providing parallel bike lanes north-south, or to go with a short couplet. A long couplet had been considered as the transportation system plan. It was ultimately not pursued as part of the TSP. So that's where we ended up in 2022. Towards the tail end of the transportation system plan, we knew we were focusing just on the transportation elements, and there's a lot of other things we need to do in the city center area. And so that's where we were working on getting a transportation growth management grant in place to tackle not only just choosing that kind of final approach, you know, which of the major transportation options we're going to go for with 101, but also to work through what kind of business incentive programs we want to pursue, activation, land acquisition, and then also the private side development code that gets paired with the selected transportation solution. And so that came together. And we embarked in 2024. We finally got that under contract and good to go. Again, a funding partnership between the Oregon Department of Transportation and Newport Urban Renewal. And so the council put together a citizen advisory committee of 18 stakeholders, all of which, had specific, it was a broad range of stakeholders for the affected area. That citizen advisory committee met over the course of a year, 7 different times. You as a planning commission met in work session numerous times, either individually or with the council over that same period of time, staying engaged with how this process has kind of developed. We had 2 major rounds of public engagement, one up front early in the process, where people had a chance to provide, feedback on, are these goals and objectives right? What are your desired outcomes, issues with transportation, so on and so forth. So a lot of information intake. We did a lot of outreach there. We had in-person workshop. We had in-person focus group meetings. We had all the materials produced in Spanish and English. So we covered that front as well. We did this in person and online. The online survey ran a course of four weeks. Advertising for that first public event included bulk mailing of postcards, so almost 8,000 postcards across the entire city, individual letters to property owners within the affected area. We included it as an insert on a utility billing, press releases, social media. And we had pretty good turnout, and you have the results of that. We're all compiled. You all had a chance to take a look at that at the time, and included in your packet was the summary, the JLA public involvement, who was on the consulting team, put together as the outcomes from that. We then continued working with the Citizen Advisory Committee, Commission and Council, to come up with solutions that address the desired outcomes and goals, and took that back out for public event number 2, in the March-April timeframe. And similar advertising on that one, got a lot of feedback, general agreement that the proposed solutions, which include for the transportation, the key piece for 101, the short couplet, and then the land use approach that we're taking, some of the form-based code concepts were available for that public event. We got general agreement that the direction we're taking is consistent with the objectives of what we're trying to address here, which is to create a more walkable environment, introduce more housing in our commercial core close to services, to create better traffic flow and safety, have a strategic plan for acquiring property, form development code that provides clear and direct guidance for how you can successfully develop and achieve these objectives. You have, as you can see in the packet, the memos which were developed along this line. A lot of what you guys saw were PowerPoints, but all these memos were attached in draft form, as you may recall. started off with project goals, then went to existing conditions, market analysis, gap analysis, and you got the initial code concepts were introduced, public investments, which is a summary of the public investments that we want to make within the city center area. And then you have a multimodal analysis, and then the form-based code, which will be part two, and which we've been discussing, will be coming back for second work session on August 11th. So that's how we got to where we're at. I'm gonna go ahead and just bring up the comprehensive plan code changes and shared screen. We'll just kind of walk through them real quick and go from there.
Quick question, more procedural, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is it appropriate to include the memo number 9s, and there are two of them, at this point, or should that be?
It's okay, because it's not something that's tied into the actual, you've noticed, there's no reference in the comp plan amendments to memo 9. It's background right now.
Okay. All right.
I think it helps because it provides some context at this point, you know, about, you know, how we got from just, you know, like memo 1 goals to all the way through.
Okay, fair enough.
So for this, for this public hearing, what we did was we provided our legal notice, but we also through the course of the outreach we did with public events 1 and 2, we had and with our website, which I didn't mention, folks had an opportunity to say, hey, I want to stay informed on the process. And we provided notice to everybody who had indicated that they wanted to stay informed of this process for this hearing. So, the first set of changes is to the Newport Peninsula Urban Design Plan. Your Newport Peninsula Urban Design Plan was done in the early 90s. It picks up Nye Beach, Bayfront, and the city center area and seemed a logical place for us to land this in terms of the changes that we've been talking about. It makes reference to City Center Revitalization Plan being a compilation of those memos. We worked into the policies, the concepts of interconnectivity, the livability, and the need to accommodate all types of housing. This housing wasn't really a principal focus of the City Center District as it was envisioned in the 90s. We then, with respect to implementation, rewrote the City Center District. And we'd covered this piece in work session on this one, which is, you know, a boundary description. And includes a map showing this is the City Center District. And then pulls in the goals, what I just mentioned, you know, the active mix of uses, walkable environment, safe, efficient traffic flow, parking management. I hadn't mentioned that, but that has been a significant part of the discussion. A clean and welcoming appearance, things that we can do that are actionable early on, whereas some of the transportation solutions are going to take some time. Plan development, acquisition incentives, partnerships, targeted investments, that kind of thing. Character and function builds off those goals. I'm not going to read it all. There's some acknowledgement that, you know, in the city center area, you have three kind of areas. You have the Highway 20 area, the Core 101 area, and then you got the hospital node, which is, you know, those are the three. They're described slightly differently, as in some of the other materials, but you have those three sub areas. You have the, gets into the kind of the form and parking and housing, land use components, talks, and this is, you know, this gets at some of those, starts to kind of set the table for a form-based code to follow. Gets into some of the design considerations there. The implementation focus area really kind of gets at, you know, some of the things we can do in terms of, you know, business support and activation. Some of this stuff can be done, over the next 12 to 24 months, whereas transportation solutions are going to probably take 7 to 10 years. I mean, you're talking about different, pursuing multiple things at the same time, some of which are more short-term, some mid-term, some longer-term. Housing development, site readiness, wayfinding, branding, beautification, there are all these concepts are worked in to these documents.
And then there's specific reference in here to the,
is this where they're listing the districts? Yeah. Some of these are obviously not even defined, but the East Olive District, isn't that part of this city center district? Can they overlap, or should it even be there? Or
we can do a little bit additional work on there before refinement before it goes to council, just to make sure we don't have any overlapping issues. We're trying to be sensitive to not affecting things like Night Beach and the Bayfront, which have built off of that peninsula plan. We haven't had so much from there. It's a good point, Bob. We can take a look at it.
It's just so they don't overlap. That's the biggie.
The one other significant issue, I did bring in specific reference to memo 6 and 7. Memo 6 that David Evans and Associates put together, which you have in your packet and you've had a chance to look at before, that just summarizes the scope and range of public improvements, everywhere from transportation improvements to streetscaping and landscaping and trash cans and stuff like that. All of that's in that. And then Memo 7, which was the one that Eco Northwest largely put together, which gets at the partnerships, implementation, short-term activation strategies to try to get some economic revitalization going. And then lastly, you'll see, I did some cleanup on the introduction to public facilities because that was just outdated information that needed to get cleaned up. None of them are, some of that stuff is all, so it's just a proper lead-in. Under public facilities, once you get past the introduction, then you go into each of the master plans, and those were all accurate, but the intro was still referring to some old master plans that are no longer effective, and so I cleaned that up. And then, as you may recall, for the transportation system plan, under the TSP goals and policies, we had already built in a place where refinement plans would be just rolled in, as updates, and that's what I put there, which is memo 6. Just like previously when we did the Uquinahead traffic study with federal highways, you may recall it was the first refinement plan that came in and amended some stuff in the 2022 TSP. So that's the balance of the changes. As this is a comprehensive plan amendment, I did include the required findings. This is a public need for the change, I think is probably the most pertinent. Certainly a significant change in one or more conclusions. There's a lot of technical information here that goes along with this. It shows, how we're looking at this area differently than we have historically and are putting together this package to try to really kind of catalyze some redevelopment in this area. So those are probably the two that are most pertinent, but the standards are under administration of plan in the comprehensive plan, and I listed each of them A through E here in the staff report and also in the notice. So,
any questions of staff?
I have a couple questions. Okay. So when we define the district up top, I had expressed a concern about we just say adjacent properties to the definition of the 101 and the 20, and then it says C, figure one. I was hoping that it would be clear that figure one rules, since the narrative is a little vague. So could we say more particularly described in figure one to make it legally clear that if there's a discrepancy between our vague narrative and the picture of the boundary, we know which lot's in and which lot's out.
Yeah, let me just write that down.
I appreciate that.
That's a helpful clarification.
Any other questions online? Okay.
I have one other question, sorry.
Okay.
So there's a note in your staff comments about consolidating the memos, and that how are you planning to do that? Because there are references to the memo. Are you going to characterize the memo or?
It's a good question. Here's
I think the way it's structured now works in terms of the comp plan policies, and just say it's a compilation of memos.
Yeah.
And we reference the specific memos where appropriate. And so the contract we had with TGM does call for a final plan. And often we'll have a final plan that consolidates everything before we get to this point, but we don't. But what it does is it also creates an opportunity for us to kind of rethink that final plan. And I was talking to Jim here with David Evans and Associates, and I think the final plan will just be more of a pamphlet, maybe, or a fold-out, you know, that really highlights the key concepts that we're trying to accomplish here, and not really a document that would be adoptable. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But more of a, when people are asking questions and our policymakers are looking to grab something, say, here, you know, because, you know, we have, you know, you guys and others, you know, member of the public, you're talking to them about it, and you remember certain things, but, you know, they ask for more information, you'd be able to give them the pamphlet.
Okay.
Marketing document.
To a point. I mean, when we did Vision 2040, you may recall, we actually had the full vision plan, but then we did the really, you know, nice, colorful fold-out, and the fold-out's what people kind of latched onto, and it had the key concepts in it that people were looking for.
Thank you.
Okay. No more questions of staff. We will move on to, I don't know who the applicant is. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's a different list. The public testimony. You can be public. No.
And, okay. And you got nothing in the office? No emails, no letters, no?
No.
I expected people
to show up about the couplet.
And yell at us about the couplet. But.
Ann online? I'm not sure.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. I apologize. Ann, do you want to make a presentation? Comments? Questions? Okay.
Your order, anything.
All right. Then if there's nothing else of staff or contractors, we will close the public record. And proceed to deliberations and questions. So again, we're looking to make a recommendation to the City Council as to whether or not to proceed with adopting the comprehensive plan amendments that Derek just described. Question? Comment? Come on. I don't get to do this very often.
Well, this has been a slog, if you will, maintaining concentration and so on and so forth has been quite a task for all of us. And I appreciate the community's input when it has been presented, particularly from the Hispanic community, which we have so much difficulty hearing from. So I'm okay with the plan. I'm prepared to move this ahead.
I'm amazed that we don't have any people here or whatever. This is a big thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not disappointed. I'm just amazed. And I'm ready to move forward, too.
Okay.
I concur. I think we should go ahead and just move it forward. And we have a lot more steps to go, so.
Yep.
I'm good with it.
Okay, online, Bill.
Does anybody in Bangkok have anything to add?
No. You know, a lot of people put a lot of work into this, and there still might be some nibbles around the edges, but it's time to move this forward in appreciation of all the work that the staff and the community has already put into this.
Bill, anything?
It was a lot. It's been going on for quite a while, and I guess I'm surprised none of the public showed up. I would have thought we would have had more people, but oh well.
I would have thought there'd be a lot of controversy over the couplet, but that seems to have kind of abated.
Yeah, I agree too, but I guess everybody's okay with it, and I don't have anything to add. I would recommend we forward it on.
Okay, is that
I concur.
Is that a motion, Bill?
Yeah, I make a, pardon me, I'm fighting a cold. I hope it's a cold and not something else. I make a motion that we forward on the Newport Peninsula Urban Design Plan and all the amendments. I think there were 9 of them to the City Council.
I'll second Mr. Brannigan's motion.
If I could make a suggestion on the wording to include file 3-CP-22, that's what we're recommending be forwarded. Is that okay with you, Bill?
Yeah, that's fine.
And what I had from that was with the clarification language that was requested by Commissioner Updike, and that we make sure we don't have any overlap in terms of language as suggested by you, Bob.
Do you want the whole thing restated?
No, I was just putting that in the record.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, do we have a second on Bill's motion with my modification?
I'll second it.
Okay. All right, any further discussion on the motion on the floor? All right, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All right, any opposed or abstentions? Then the motion passes. The recommendation will be sent to City Council, and this hearing is over. Now, I am a little surprised, as are several of us, that we had no public participation here today. And I'm wondering if there's anything we can do to try and encourage people to show up at City Council to at least
let me put some thought to that. I mean, you know, we had already done 2 for public events, 1 and 2,
right.
You know, dropped, 8,000, postcards, each for those, and did a whole lot of outreach. And then at each of the public events made sure to, get, and we have a pretty, you saw it in your record, you have a pretty healthy email distribution list of everybody who had indicated that they wanted to stay informed, and we kept them informed. Now we can send notice out to all the property owners in the district on top of that, even though there's some overlap with that. I don't know,
Is there a way to do either titling or the notice that makes it clear this is, nothing's ever final, but it's kind of the final decision on the couplet issue. I'm not sure that's clear that people say, Civic Center.
We'll see if we can get some more press out for the council.
Yeah.
This is really amazing that no one's.
Yeah.
It really is.
And there's that very nice website out of Waldport or Yahats?
Yahats News. Well, now it's the Yahats Lincoln Chronicle.
I don't know. They really do some in-depth articles.
Yeah. It's called the Lincoln Chronicle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They seem to be making an effort.
Maybe contact them.
Maybe our PI, maybe the PIO has some suggestions, wherever John is.
He's gone. Finally, somebody said his name, and he's gone. Okay, I think, are we through with that discussion then?
Mm-hmm.
Director's comments.
John had mentioned that it'd be a good idea to share a presentation we put together for council. Like all departments in the city, we were doing a council orientation overview of what the department does. Put together a slideshow. It's probably 40 some odd slides. I'll include it in the packet next packet, and you take a look at it just for background. So outside of that, the council did ultimately approve the ordinance amending the geologic hazards code. We did have Adam Large with Schlicker and Associates provided testimony there. He didn't provide testimony to you, but he provided testimony at the council level. The principal proponent was not there.
And so we ended up getting Adam Large, and then another letter that came in from the State Geologist Board. Mr. Large, who is a certified engineering geologist, was not excited about the changes because now it means that they kind of have to self-police out there, you know, in terms of whether or not a geotechnical engineer is practicing beyond what they're allowed to do, or CEG is doing more than what they're allowed to do. But our council went around and around on that, and then ultimately voted unanimously to just approve the package as is. So that's what they did.
Good. Okay, if there's nothing else, this meeting is adjourned at 8:50.